Colossians chapter 3. Let's just look at Colossians chapter 3. What did he say? It says, if you are then risen with Christ, if you be risen with Christ, it says, seek those things which are above, where, you know, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It says, set your affection on things above, not on the earth. All right? It's you, man of God. And not on the earth. Okay, so it says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear in glory. So, you know, like we said last week, we said that when we say we are dead, it's not like we are physically dead or something like that, you know. But it says we are dead as a metaphor to communicate the fact that we have changed our, or we have received a new life in God. And then that life makes us to now reorient ourselves from a naturalistic way of conducting ourselves to a spiritually influenced way of conducting ourselves. So we are now dead to the naturalistic way of living. Then, when I say naturalistic, I'm not saying, for example, if it's your nature, if it's since it's human nature to be hungry after a while of not eating food, then we are meant to no longer have those desires. No, the naturalistic is not in conflict with the spiritual, but the spiritual, or let's say the natural, is meant to be subject to the influence of the spiritual. So the spiritual is the is to be the influencer, the driver, or the catalyst, not the catalyst now, that's not the right word, I'll say the controller. It helps to properly manage the natural life. It should manage the natural life of man. So the Spirit of God does not come to take away your natural, then your nature, human nature, or your natural desires. It does not come to take them away. It redirects, reorients your natural desires so that you can do them in a way that pleases God. So we have a lot of people that often ask, why is it that I was born with a desire to have this, what the Bible will call, a flaw? Why was I born like that? Why was I born with that kind of flaw? You know, not the ground, but a flaw, F-L-A-W. So why was I born with this inability or with this desire or whatever it is? Why was I born like this? But you see, the truth is, it's not a question of why was I born like this. The question would be, what is God saying about how you are born? What is God saying? What can God do? What is God's plan for your life? Now, let's just quickly understand something. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, there is nobody on earth that is unchangeable or uninfluencable by God's Spirit. Every single person is. There's nobody that can say, oh, I can never be used by God. I can never be taught by God. I can never grow spiritually. I will always be like this. Oh, someone say, I am always like this. This is my nature. And we even use other naturalistic, or should I say, what I will call psychotic or psychedelic theories. What I mean by that is these crazy beliefs. That we have, which we call the star signs of people, where we say one is Capricorn, one is Sagittarius, one is Cancer. I'm not sure I'm getting right. Aries and all of that. We have all of these signs. Where so we often use these should I say, metrics to define ourselves. We often say, oh, if I was born in so-and-so mode, this is exactly who I would be. But you see, there's a nature of human when you are born. There's a nature that everybody adopts. But then there's a new nature that God gives to you. That new nature does not deaden the previous nature. What it does is that it curbs it. It controls. It properly defines, properly directs, properly leads it. It's an influence of God's Spirit. The influence of God's Spirit. I think I would have liked to name this one the influence of God's Spirit. The influence of God's Spirit. The influence of God's Spirit. So God's Spirit is to influence man. Okay, so it says now, the believers, those who have received Christ by faith in the gospel, right? It says, since we are now risen with Christ, what does it mean to be risen with Christ? What does it mean to be risen with Christ? It simply means, since you have received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, since you have received the risen Lord, you have risen. You know how, let me see if I can use an analogy. If someone says, let's say you are involved in a kind of project and you are stuck at a point, you feel like, oh, I need to fix, we need to ensure that property is sold to so and so persons or so and so company, whatever it is. We want to sell a property to a company, and then somewhere somehow you just have a hindrance in your project. You have a hindrance somehow like that, and then you are thinking, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And then somehow, some way, somebody just brings up an idea. And suddenly, you're like, wow, I never saw it this way. It's just a light bulb for you. You're just surprised. Wow. 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 Oh, wow. That's true. That's actually true. How did I not think of this now? What happens oftentimes is that ideas or revelation brings awareness of something that you've always had, or reality that always existed within you, but you are not just conscious of it. So that's, at that point, you became awoken, or you were risen. Let me use that word. You arose to that possibility. So in the same way, when he says we are risen with Christ, means you have come to a revelation of a new life. Because the gospel of Christ was preached to us, the nature of God was preached to us, God's plan for our life was preached to us, and we believe that then, since we received the Holy Ghost in our heart by faith in the gospel, we are now arisen to God's will for our lives. So since we are risen with Christ, so Christ rose from the dead, and we have now become alive to God. We have now become, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Let me just put on my camera. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Ephesians 2. It says, and you, verse 1. It says, and you, who you have quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. In trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, right? According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation. That word conversation is the word conduct, okay? Had our conduct in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, let's read that again. In verse 2, it says, wherein in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Sorry. According to the prince of the power of the air. What's wrong with my phone? Sorry. 1 second. All right. All right. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So, the previous one that the believer lived in was the course of this world. That word course means the pattern. the pattern, the mindset of this world, the natural mindset of this world, that everything that is what is intuitive to human nature. If someone slaps you, you feel you want to revenge. You have to slap the person back, or you know, or something bad. If someone hurts you, you want to find a way to wish them bad or whatever. That's how concepts like karma are easily adopted or embraced by human beings. Karma, when you do good in this life, in the next life you reap good. If you do bad in this life, next life you reap bad. Okay, that's why it's easily embraced, because it's in sync with the naturalistic mindset that wants to only be selfish. It has nothing to do with sacrifice or forgiveness. It absolutely has nothing to do with sacrifice or forgiveness. It has everything to do with myself, my pleasure, everything. If you hurt me, you must be hurt back, because I must get my pleasure, I must get my way. That is the naturalistic kind of life. Okay, so Paul says here, he says, in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Now, sometimes when we read the Bible, we often think that those people then were different than we are now. They had a different world, or different. They were exposed to different kinds of temptations or struggles than we do now, or than we have now. But that is not true, because this is simply a text. This is simply a text that addresses a real world. A real world like we have today. I can as well write something today, and then in thousands of years, let's say 2,000 years later on, 2,000 years after now, it does not in any way devalue the text that I wrote today. If I was addressing something today, the point is, this man was addressing a real issue. He says, in time past, you walked according to the course of the world. So one thing we should must know is that God is not unaware of the worldly desires that we've had, or that we have, right? Because believers and unbelievers both have desires. Amen. Our desires do not disappear because we are born again. But it says, in time past, you walked. That is, your conduct was simply naturalistic according to the pattern of this world, right? Tit for tat, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Oh, how you say someone did this to you, or whatever it is, that's a naturalistic mindset. A naturalistic mindset will go as far as going into relationships. Oh, how can a man tell you to do this? Who says you must cook for him? Who says? Sorry, let's not go into all those things. Anyways, but who says you must do all of this? For a man. How can a woman talk to you like that? Don't you know you are the man of the house? And all of that stuff. If we begin to use the scriptures to address certain concepts, certain people might not be necessarily ready to hear them. But are we ready to hear God's word? We must hear God's word. I was on the train with somebody, and this morning, just while I was going to church, just nothing really deep, but I mean, this is something I often hear, very often times. The person saw me with the keyboard and was like, oh, you play the instrument? I say, I play the keyboard. That's why I'm going to keyboard in church. So I say, yeah, I play the keyboard. So he say, what kind of music? I say, different kinds of music, but actually, I'm actually going to church, so I'm going to be playing gospel music. So the person said, oh, really? I said, but not the gospel genre, though, but it can, adopt the hip-hop style and other kind of styles, but it's still gospel in terms of its content. Or people are like, oh, really? But I heard about so many religions, blah, 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 and I just feel like all of them are, different ways and all of the different ways to, just none of them are wrong. Or I don't remember what the person said. I think the person was kind of high. But anyways, so the person said, and I replied, I said, I hear that a lot. I hear that there are so many religions and so many belief systems. That's what everybody says. Now, a part of me wanted to now go and get into it deeply, but not. I didn't get into it. But the point was that I was just letting her know that there are so many other religions, and I'm aware that there's so many other religions in the world, but if you really want to know God, you come to Christianity. It's that simple. There's no argument. If you want to know Krishna, you can go to Hinduism. If you want to know Muhammad or Allah or whatever it is, you can go to Islam. If you want to learn about any other thing, whatever it is, all them, I don't remember their names right now, because it's been a while since I looked into them. I've been focusing on other things. But anyways, if you want to learn about any other God, you can learn about them. But if you want to learn about Jesus, come to Christianity. It's that simple. There's no argument. Do you understand? There's no argument. But you see, for the believer, Jesus Christ becomes God's hand of help. Jesus Christ becomes God's, it becomes God's reality. Or let's not say God's reality. It becomes the reality of God. It becomes the truth. It becomes the light that men do not have. It becomes a light that men do not have. Every other religion is trying so hard to become spiritual in such a way that assuages naturalistic mindset. In such a way that it assuages, it sort of endorses the more naturalistic mindsets. That is the difference between, so you see, for example, in Islam, we have a lot of tit for tat. Because it is in sync with the natural mindset. If someone does something bad to you, you are naturally inclined to retaliate. That is the Islamic doctrine. That is what it is. You are naturally inclined to retaliate. So you see, if you want to learn about Jesus, is it? That's the thing about it. Stop. For those of us that are in, I know that in Nigeria or in Africa, we do not really have the challenge. Let's just use the word challenge of debating religion as much. It's growing a little bit. I've noticed it. It's growing a little bit because religion cannot thrive for long. Once you introduce religion to somewhere, just be sure that atheism is going to follow after. You understand? That's why I made the post today. If you read my WhatsApp status, go and read it. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you introduce religion, you have atheism. And atheism comes because they thought that there was no God because they represented a God. And they say, okay, this God is stupid. Actually, they were never presented God. So you cannot really call them atheists. They don't know who God is for them to reject him yet. Do you understand? So, but that's by the way. So now, what was I? So the point is that God to be the believer is Jesus Christ. And the way the believer can live a spiritual life, can live a life that is true and perfect comes from his word. This becomes the truth to the believer. So if you want to learn about tit for tat, if you want to learn all that stuff, go ahead, go and read other things and read other stuff, because there's a bunch of it out there. So, but Jesus Christ comes to give us God's will for our lives, give us God's help for us to be turned from a naturalistic way of living to a spiritually influenced way of living. So it says Ephesians 2, that's where we are. Ephesians 2, it says in times past, we walked according to the course of this world. So now, let's bring it to our world today. So you might be saying, oh, but I'm still walking in the course of this world right now. Whereas the Bible says in time past, we were walking. So that helps you. Pastor Chris, I always have to mention him because he's a huge influence to me. Pastor Chris Onoinka, he explained that for you to understand a text of the Bible, you have to go first of all to their world to understand or see it how they saw it then. And then from that, you identify something that is unique to them and unique to you that you can, you know, should I say, weave. It's called intertextuality. You weave together. And then when you get that, you understand the point. So in Paul's time, what was the situation at hand? These were believers who were walking in the flesh, as we call it. These were believers who had issues. They had conduct issues. They lived as though they were not born again. In fact, the Corinthian church is the most notorious one, but we know that Ephesian church also had the same challenge. He started by telling them how they are, you know, how they are blessed with all the riches in Christ Jesus, and praise that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened to know this more. But then he now says, remember that, you know, there was a time you were in the world, you walked according to the path. He was talking to people that we are still walking in the flesh. So why is he saying in the past you were walking according to the course of this world, according to the piece of power of the air? What is he doing? He's letting them come to a knowledge about something. So watch this. It is one thing for you to know that you are saved from sin. It's another thing for you to realize that you are saved from sin and walk in the newness of life. And that comes by the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it says, in the times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. So the children of disobedience can also be people, right, that are believers. It says, among whom also... Sorry, I didn't mean that the children of disobedience refer to our believers here. I'm talking about the conduct itself. Don't get me wrong, please. Among whom also we had a conversation. That word conversation is conduct in times past, in the lust of our flesh. So this worldly part, this worldly life, worldly lifestyle, is a lifestyle that is influenced by moving according to the lust of your flesh, the desires, your desires, the natural desires. You know, whatever you feel like. It says fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature the children of wrath. This is where a lot of people find it difficult to believe the Christian God or to believe God's word. This is where a lot of people, because once they discover that, it seems like Christianity, or let's put it like this, Christianity has in time past or occasionally been presented as something that a belief system or a worldview or a school of thought, whatever it is, that tends to preach a self-denial of everybody. So if their mindset, the problem is not that people have not heard about Jesus, right? Well, the problem is, if I believe in Jesus, which means all those things I want to do, I can't do them again. And now I'm going to have to start talking in a specific way. I have to start acting in a specific way, in a certain way, on a daily basis. Oh, I'm not going to do that. That's why they resort to atheism. Sometimes they know that atheistic arguments are very weak, but they just, somewhere in their minds, they are scared of being different, of stopping those things that they love. You know, they love everything they love. For young men, some of them, that they love, the gratification of drugs and all of that stuff, the whole things with sexual immorality and all of that, for young people, and you talk about people that are into business. Business is a world where it's easy to become fraudulent. It's very easy. You think you're just being smart, but for young people, there's a pressure too. There's a pressure there to want to be, like this or like that. You just want to do things. But you see, this is the issue with many people. This is where they don't really realize certain things. They think that God is coming to deny them of certain things. I was teaching a church today. I told you guys I teach. I was teaching that the change of habits for a believer does not come because they are born again. It comes because they are born again, but it does not automatically come. It doesn't come because, you're born again, you now have to change. No, it comes as a result of being born again in the process of spiritual growth. The moment you begin to fight your, say, I'm a Christian now, so I would no longer lie. The moment you do that, what you are doing is you are using a natural ability to establish something that is spiritual. And Paul says, since you are risen with Christ, set your mind, your affection on things that are spiritual. So which means your responsibility is not to change yourself. It is to focus on the things of the Spirit. That's what we read in Colossians 3. So it said, in time past, you walk according to the lust of your flesh. So what would be the solution to someone who is walking the lust of the flesh? Amen. Are you tired, man of God?
To walk in the spirit.
What would be the solution to someone who is walking? He says walking in the spirit. How would he walk in the spirit? How will he walk? You know? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you see, the solution to someone that is walking in the flesh, someone that is naturalistic in his conduct, his worldview, and all that stuff. What is the solution to him? The solution is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in the hearts of men and the consciousness of God's Spirit. So it says, in times past, please pay attention to this. It says, you walk according to the lust of your flesh, you fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we are by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he had loved us, all right, even when we are dead in sins, he said he had quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavens in Christ Jesus. So that's what it means to be risen, to receive Jesus Christ into your heart. So let's go back to that Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3 now says, in verse 2, Colossians 3, verse 2. Colossians 3 and verse 2. How about Rachel? I shouldn't be putting this on my
mind.
All right, okay, no problem. All right. One second. This one is. All right, Colossians, what? Colossians 3, verse 2. It then says, set your affections on things above and not the things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. It then says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, and inordinate affection, and evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then he goes on to explain more things. And then he now says in verse 7, he says, in which you also walked in some time, where you lived in them. So this is a common thing in most of his churches. So it's not uncommon to see believers walk in the flesh. Okay. So he then says in verse 8, but now you have put off all this. You have put off anger. Sorry, but now you also put off all this, all right? Put off anger, put off wrath, put off malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, right? And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, okay? Then, let's jump a bit, just quickly. Right, then it says in verse 16, just to reiterate, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, right, one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. So I want to ask you a question. How much time do you spend in reading God's word, in studying God's word? How much time do you spend in reading the Bible on a daily basis? How much time do you devote to read God's word, to read the word of God? If you desire to grow spiritually, there's no way on earth, neither in heaven, will you grow spiritually, right, without reading the word of God daily, without reading the word. I mean, paying attention to what you're reading and also praying, right? Praying, fellowshipping with God. There's no way you can do that. People think that there's some mysterious way to grow spiritually. Say, I give myself away. Even if you shout that one way, you'll be shouting away for long, nothing will change. If you do not read the word of God, Charles Spurgeon says, if you desire to know God, you must desire to know his word. If you must desire to know God, you must desire to know his word. You must read the Bible for you to grow spiritually. Sorry. Grow spiritually. You know, yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, last night. I think I should put this off record. Just a second. Let me. You can never, if you don't have God's word in your heart, you can never grow spiritually. That is, if it is not something that you constantly devote yourself to, it has to translate from your mental consciousness to your emotions. The word of God has to be rich. You can't grow spiritually. Number two, the second thing is this. You cannot also do any work for God if you do not have God's word in your heart. You can't do his work. Maybe you start, but you will not continue. You won't stay for long. Hallelujah. Brother,
Is it me you're talking to?
Yeah, good. So, So you see that if you don't have God's word in your heart, you can't grow spiritually. You can't. I said last time, I said at a point you begin to feel like, that's if you're not focusing on God, so you begin to feel like, I don't really need God. That's what they call backsliding. That's what they call backsliding, but you know, that's what it is. You just forget God. It's as though God does not exist. It's as though, and that's the thing about it. The things you focus on become your reality. The things you focus on become your reality. Because the truth of the matter is, you do not, you know, many people have the issue. The reason many people doubt God is majorly because of conduct. Majorly because they cannot understand how someone can live a specific kind of life and say, you mean you're still like this? You mean you have not done this before? And they look at you like you're weird. It's not possible. They'll say, that's impossible. I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts, you know, with some level of carefulness though, but I listen to, and you hear them say, like, that's not possible. It's not possible. Nah, nobody on some of these weird Christians. It's foreign. It sounds impossible. But the truth is that it is not something that is. It's not something that's forced. It's not something that people try to force. Also try to do. It is something that is in, that is becomes a reality by the influence of another thing, and that is the Spirit of God. It only becomes impossible. That's the same thing as every miracle as well. Every miracle. Every single miracle. People say it's impossible for cancer to be healed. Do you know how many cancerous cases have been cleared by God's power? People talk about death. It cannot come from death to life. How many dead have been raised? Many, many miracles. Still happen till date. You see? Oh, it's not possible to know this about somebody's life unless you're... No. It's possible, dear. It's possible. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So... that is the thing about it. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, what would God have us do? Anyways, God would have us to focus on His word in order to grow spiritually. In order to grow spiritually. All right. In order to grow spiritually. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, yes. So, why is it that everybody seems to have a problem with it? I'm saying this because of the kind of issues that are going on. And we must be conscious of these things. Now, the fact that we see so many people struggling to live the Christian life is an indication, number one, that we have misrepresented the gospel to them, right? Or number two, they do not even know the gospel at all. And even Christians, included. Christians don't know the gospel. No, when I say the gospel, I'm talking about that Jesus died for your sins, he's forgiven. No, that's not what I'm talking about. The gospel in terms of they don't understand the Bible. They think that somehow you know things just happened and God decided to just expect or demand a certain kind of lifestyle from us. Well, that is not what happened. So I'll close with this simple explanation that God is there to help anyone that needs Him. Look at Genesis, the book of Genesis. We're going to close with this. You know? Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Because you get to see that this has always been the problem from the beginning. This has always been from the beginning. In the beginning, that's verse 1.
God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the surface of the earth and the waters. Many people don't realize what God is saying, or what Moses, or the writer of this, was saying. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Now, because we are not dwelling on the teaching of Genesis now, I just want to quickly point something out. That this text actually points out the fact that from the beginning of time, there has always been a problem of worldliness in the world. That has always been. So it's not something that happened because, oh, God created man and then something happened, blah, blah, blah. This is something that has always been from the beginning. Now, let me just quickly explain this. The writer here points out, he says the earth was without form and void. This was the beginning. Now, when he says beginning, when he says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, I will get into that series later on. We'll talk about that. When he says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, essentially what he's saying, I think I've explained this before, but just to get a bit clearer, when he says beginning, it doesn't refer to like the absolute beginning of things here, but refers to the a begin of a period. All right, sometimes the word beginning here will be used for I think it was this in Hosea, the King Hosea's, where he says the beginning of Hosea's, the King Hosea's reign. Talk about the beginning of King Uzziah's reign. It was used for the beginning of certain things. So when you can just say when God created the heavens and the earth. So it's talking about something specific. It's not talking about an absolute beginning here, just for passing. So it's saying when God created the heavens and the earth, that is when God had a plan to save man. When God's plan was to save man, he says the earth was without form and void. That word without form and void refers to simply means chaos. It was chaotic, without order. So when God had a plan to save us, there was already disorder. So it's not a case of saying, oh, this is what happened in the beginning, absolute beginning. No, it's saying there was always chaos on the earth. When it says earth, it refers to human beings. Just so I can pass off that quickly. Refers to human beings. So there was always a case where people were not in living the right way. So when people come and tell us that God is angry with sin and desires to destroy, and he's so intolerant, so impatient, that is just the wrong God. But it says when God created the heavens and the earth, that's when God had a plan to save, there was chaos. He then uses Adam and Eve to illustrate man's fall, or the fact that God presents his life to men and men reject that. All right, and as a consequence of that, we experience this chaos that was talked about in the beginning. All right, so that's exactly what he's saying. So the point, you must first of all realize, as we close, you must first of all realize that issues of conduct should not be things that you look at somebody and say, oh, this person, you're not a Christian. No, that is something that has always been. But you see, the person to change that person is not the person himself. It is the Savior, the one who from the beginning has existed, the one who had a plan to save, is the Savior. That's why it says, and the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the waters. Over the earth, the water is often used for human beings as well. We moved over the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, all right, shine on the hearts of men. So it would only be by the light of God that people will grow spiritually. If you see someone that lives a life in a naturalistic way, in a way that is just in conflict with spiritual things, it means a person has a less light or a dim view of Christ. He does not know Christ. Hence, we can say that you must be given to the word of Christ for you to be able to grow spiritually and leave darkness and come to light in terms of your conduct. So light, the light of God, is God's solution. That is what it is. That is the way to grow spiritually. The spiritual growth is dependent on God's Spirit. And by his word, you then grow spiritually. So if I was born with a certain tendency, as we say, if I was born with whatever it is, somebody told me that I was born like this, I was born like that, I was born like this. How do I deal with this? How do I deal with that? Friends and well-wishers, as we say, friends, ladies and gentlemen, only way to deal with this is simply by the relying on God. How do you rely on God? You fellowship with the Word, you fellowship with the brethren, you fellowship in prayers, personal prayers, personal fellowship, and then that will stir you up to grow spiritually. There are no two ways about it. That will stir you up to grow spiritually. You must grow spiritually. There's a time. It's a time where you must grow spiritually. There must be. You must be given to a certain level of discipline. I remember how the grace preachers, as we close, it's already time. It's already 10:30. As we close, so you know, I remember how this some of these grace preachers used to preach. They would tell you, "Oh, rest. You don't have to do anything for whatever it is." They're not wrong, because you don't have to do anything for God to justify you from sin. However, for you to grow spiritually, you must actually be active. There must be a level of seriousness, a serious approach. You must be serious about it. You must be active. You must know, okay, what am I meant to do by this time? What shows am I not meant to watch? All right, what platforms am I not meant to go on? These are things that you do, because influence comes from platforms. Influence comes from different platforms, from communication. From communication. And that's what it is. So we must be conscious of all of these things. We must live a disciplined life. I must tell myself, I must read this Bible today. I will read by so-and-so time, and I will read all of it. That is exactly how to grow spiritually. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's how it is. That's how to grow spiritually. A believer must grow spiritually simply by the word and discipline of listening to God's word. You listen to God's word always. Always listen to God's word. So you must ask yourself, how often do I read God's word? How giving am I to God's word? That will help you. That will help you, because if your mind is not influenced by God, it will be as if God does not have power. May God help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.